You're listening to Predictably Drunk, smart people talking about stupid things with your host, Sam Marcoux and Matt Somerville.
Thank you, Ross Baker, and thank you, the audience. You are the smart people that listen to stupid things that we talk about here on Predictably Drunk. I am Sam Marcoux, along with Matt Somerville, as always. How are you doing, Matt?
I'm doing swell. How are you, Sam?
I am doing fantastic, my friend. We took a week off here. This is episode 3 of season 3 of Predictably Drunk, the podcast. And we took that week off because, quite frankly, it was my birthday last week. And I really wasn't around.
Oh, man. That's good. You shouldn't be on your birthday. And you know what? As with most things, I hear that season 3 is really when the show starts to get good with most things.
It really is. It's about season 5, I think, when you start adding additional cast members and trying to salvage whatever is left of the original idea. But we're not there yet. We're about to hit the prime. I mean, we're not quite 600 episodes in like The Simpsons on TV, which, by the way, side note, that is what an accomplishment for The Simpsons.
Holy shit.
600 episodes, and at least 400 of them are watchable, so that's good.
Right. Yeah, that's about those first 400, I would say.
Yeah, but 1 through 400, and then it just stopped.
You can just stop after that. You know what, though? I am excited. It is Halloween, and as with every Halloween, you get the Treehouse of Horror. No matter how much that show has kind of fallen off in the last few years, I will always watch the Treehouse of Horror.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't. I mean, I said yeah, but I haven't. But I will at some point. Yeah, I'll eventually watch the last 3 or 4 seasons and move on. But we're not here to talk about The Simpsons. We're not here to talk about the Halloween Treehouse of Horror, although we are going to talk a little bit about Halloween here in a second, because that is what is on tap, as we will go into the second installment of Matt Says a Movie Thing, where he will recommend a movie for you and your viewing pleasure to do after you listen to this show. We are going to talk about a man. This is an old story. This is kind of like a classic stupid drunken news story, Matt, that I found in the depths of the internet, just kind of cleaning out the old internet closet here, about a man who was arrested for drunken driving. Nothing, nothing quite surprising about that. But it
happens every day.
Yep, all the time. But what is surprising is what he was actually driving, and what he was arrested for driving while drunk. It's not anything that you would guess. I don't think in your top three.
Can I guess? I'm just gonna throw out three real quick.
Throw
one. Tractor.
No.
Okay. Two. Lawnmower.
I'm gonna go no.
Oh, okay. So I'm onto something there. For number three, golf cart.
You were closer with lawnmower. We will reveal that there at the end of the show with stupid drunken news like we always do. But we're also going to do something like, as you know, I mean, speaking of scary things, Halloween, all that fun stuff. Yes. The election for the next president of the United States is winding down. And we kind of
scary
figured,
stuff.
Yeah, we figured in lieu of doing another interview that we would instead maybe take a crack at what it would be like if you or I were president, in a segment we're going to get to here in a little bit during Happy Hour called If I Were President. I think people can kind of figure out where it's going to go from there. But before we do the drunk driving story that I was just talking about, before we get to the movie review of Matt Says a Movie Thing, we need to talk about the most important thing on the show, the most fun thing on the show, and that...
Okay, what's going on?
We're talking about the beer review segment of the show. What's on tap? You take a beer, I take a beer, we drink it, we review it, we tell the audience out there whether they should go and drink it themselves on their own time and their own dime later. So Matt, what do you have on tap?
Well, summer is over. That's if that's not clear to any of you, it's fucking October. Like, get with it. It's over. I wanted to say a final goodbye to summer, and I did so with Anderson Valley's Summer Solstice. Pretty tasty. I really did like it. Not really what I would expect out of a summer beer, which in my experience has been sort of the lighter fare. This felt a little heavier, and it was actually pretty sweet for a summer beer, and not a beer that has anything to do with fruit, which I think is often associated with summer beers. This had sort of like a sweet, creamy finish, and came in a can, which is nice and trashy. I liked it. I would recommend that roughly 8 months from now, you pick up yourself a sixer of Anderson Valley's Summer Solstice.
So you just recommended to the audience to drink a beer that they can't even get their hands on for 2/3 of a year. That's good. that's called a long-term marketing strategy, if I'm not
mistaken. We don't discriminate here, all right? It's beer freedom.
Well, I'm glad you liked something from Anderson Valley. I've never really been able to get into the Anderson Valley family of beers, so maybe that's something I'll keep an eye out next time I am looking through the Anderson Valley catalog and want to try something that I haven't tried before. So that's
thumbs up.
It's called the Summer Solstice, huh?
You got it. And it has this really weird thing on the front of the can that says, with natural flavors. I have no idea what the fuck that means.
I think you know exactly what that means.
It didn't stop me from drinking it.
Well, I mean, hey, you put enough flavor into anything, and especially peanut butter, and I'm in.
What are you drinking tonight?
I'm actually drinking something that I think is going to be near and dear to your heart, and it's something that I had here recently while attending a hockey game, which we'll talk about my birthday week, here in a little bit. But I specifically tried this because there'd be no other reason to try it other than at a hockey game. But Gordon Biersch Brewing Company out of Northern California here, Never Trust a Skinny Brewer is their marketing ad. That's because the guys who make the beer are fat. They came out with a local beer that you'll appreciate. It's called Chum, C-H-U-M.
Okay.
It is a red ale, an American amber. And on the logo of Chum by Gordon Biersch is S.J. Sharkey, which is it's actually your logo. It's not the actual mascot, but it's the logo for the San Jose Sharks. This is a private beer labeled for the San Jose Sharks in basically in true brewing fashion. This was supposed to be out last year for the San Jose Sharks 25th anniversary. They couldn't get it right. Shocking. And they came out with it this year instead. But they kind of rebranded it as commemorating the first Stanley Cup appearance by the San Jose Sharks last year. So I had this actually at the game, the season opener between San Jose Sharks and the Los Angeles Kings. And I must be a glutton for punishment, Matt, because I am not – I've said it on this air before. I am not a red ale drinker. I don't like ambers. They usually give me heartburn. I think I've had one or two in my life over, 34 years now of drinking beer that I've actually liked. And while this isn't the worst American amber I've ever had, it's not anything that I would purposely order. Let me put it that way. So,
Sure.
I think in the context of going to a hockey game, and it's kind of cool to see the Sharks have their own beer, like a private beer, I think you order it, you drink it. If you're a Sharks fan, you absolutely drink it. But much like the San Jose Sharks, it started off okay, started off actually fantastic, and then and then towards the end, it seemed a little flat.
All right. Yeah. I knew you couldn't fucking avoid jabbing at them because you said – They couldn't get the beer right, and I'm like, all right, where is it, Sam? Where's the fucking punchline? Just like the Sharks can't ever get it right. I mean, but it's true. It is true, and so they did the beer and the team right by fucking it up a bunch.
Yeah, and I think what's going to end up happening is it's going to be about half full around May, and then in June you're just going to get empty bottles.
Listen, speaking of hockey and worrisome practice. I just heard that your goalie is out indefinitely.
Yeah, he tore his groin actually in that game. It happened right in front of my eyes, and he's going to be out for a long time. The LA Kings are going to suck this year. I don't know why we need to talk about it. It's going to lead to me drinking more, but that's fine. It's fine.
It's good for the show.
Overall, 7.2% alcohol in this beer. It's not a bad amber. Again, I can drink it. I can swallow it. I could drink it if I, maybe like the fourth beer in the night, the fifth beer in the night, out socially drinking,
sure.
Matt. It's not terrible. It's not anything that I'm going to clamor for, though. I think if you're a Sharks fan, if you're living here in the local area of San Jose, it makes sense to go get it and try it and be like, okay, cool. It's a niche sort of thing. But it wasn't for me overall. But
is called Chum too. That's not very appealing.
Yeah, Chum is basically chopped up fish guts that is thrown into the water for the Sharks to drink. So it's not the best, most visually appealing thing for your palate and your stomach. But I get it. I understand it. It's a marketing thing, and I'm not going to not recommend it. But I'm not going to recommend it.
Yeah, it's not funny. Ha ha. It's like this tastes funny.
It's definitely made for San Jose Sharks fans.
Great. Wonderful. That's moving on.
I'm not making any jokes other than that's who it's marketed towards.
So thumbs sideways, I guess, is the judgment on that one.
Some thumbs sideways. We don't really have a rating system. At some point, we have to develop that. I mean, we can't do the thumbs up, thumbs down thing, because that's what Gene Siskel and Roger Ebert did for many years on their show, Siskel and Ebert. But speaking of movies and movie reviews, we did this. If you guys are hardcore listeners, we actually did this at the end, actually after the show had ended last week. We threw this little Easter egg nugget on. We decided
it's
to move
a bit
it into.
Of a dingleberry.
A little bit of a dingleberry at the end of the show. We've now moved it on to a full fledged turd right here in the middle of the show. Woo. And it's a new segment that we are calling officially, I guess, Matt says a movie thing.
I love it. There's nothing better because you know what you're getting, exactly what you're getting. Folks, it's Halloween. It's not Halloween. It's the month of Halloween. I consider the whole month Halloween. I really like Halloween, if you couldn't tell. And so I wanted to recommend something for you to watch to kind of get into the mood of the month. And, you know, I've been trying to track down some great anthology movies, you know, like the Creep Shows, or the Cat's Eye, for any Stephen King fans out there. And I did. I found a great anthology horror from 2007. And actually, I found a really shitty one from last year. So I'm going to tell you which one to watch and which one to avoid. The one to watch is called Trick or Treat. And don't go looking for Trick or Treat. It's Trick R, the letter R, Treat from 2007. And it's a perfect number of stories. There's about four or five. I think it's five. Any more than five, you're running into a problem. We'll talk about that in a second. Three to five is great for an anthology hour and a half horror movie. And that's what this is. Even better is when you can tie all of them together. It's not just themed by, hey, it's Halloween. It's themed by, oh, these people are all in the same town. They know each other. They interact with each other, but they do have their own story. Great, great tongue-in-cheek a horror in this one. Lots of fun. It's on Halloween night. It concerns a few different groups of people. It does not shy away from grossness, blood, guts, violence. But there's a lot of humor in it, too. So it's a lot of fun. You want to get in the mood, watch Trick or Treat. The one to avoid is Tales of Halloween 2015. This motherfucker was too ambitious for its own good. There's 10 different stories. Oh. You go past five, and you're just really sacrificing screen time at that point. 10's too much, and this one was very lazy about it. A story fades in, it ends, it fades out, and then the next one fades in. It's just very lazy. It's ridiculous. It's shit filmmaking. Avoid Tales of Halloween at all costs. Stick to Trick or Treat this October.
Trick or Treat good, Tales of Halloween bad. I'm a sucker for those interconnectivity stories, right? Like Westworld. I don't know if you've seen that at all on HBO.
I haven't seen it yet. I want to, though.
It starts off a little slow, just so you know. I definitely watch it by yourself, but as you get into the second half of episode one and then two and three, it really picks up, and it's one of those things where, you know, there's all kinds of storylines going on. They're all convoluted, and you can't help but find yourself thinking about it later, like, oh, wow, look at all the possibilities of this, that, this, and that, and everything else. So,
listen, folks, Sam Marcoux does not a lot. He's not a big fan of a lot of TV shows, so if he likes something, you should fucking watch it.
Yeah, I agree with that on my own show. I agree. That's right.
TV shows. Let me specify. TV shows he's not a fan of. So if he's digging something, and I am so excited to watch it, and I'm even more excited now that I know that you like it. You like something. That's very exciting.
But speaking of which, so yes, I did go to a hockey game the day before my birthday. My Kings lost, but I had a fantastic time with my girlfriend. We drank the Chum beer like we talked about at the top of the show here. But the whole week has been fantastic. I mean, basically, after that, my birthday happened, and then the weekend came, and I didn't have my kid, my girlfriend didn't have her kids, and we spent basically the entire weekend drinking bourbon and hanging out, which is, once you get into your 30s, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not already there, that sounds like a vacation to me.
That's a treat.
Yeah, it's better than getting on a plane and going to Hawaii or Florida or anything like that. I got to sit at home, drink some alcohol, hang out with my chick, and just watch TV, and actually watched Westworld.
Heyo.
Yeah, so much so that we watched it. I watched it by myself, and then I made her watch it. We fell asleep, probably because of the bourbon, and then we woke up in the morning, and I'm like, seriously, though, you need to watch this show, and I made her rewatch it in the morning. So shout out to Westworld, I suppose. I guess I'm a fan. But you know, before that, I sent some pictures out, and I promised that I would talk about it on this show. Monday Night Raw. People that know me know that I used to be a professional wrestler. I trained for it for a couple of years. It was a passion of mine growing up. And then at one point, I decided, you know what? I don't want to be a professional wrestler. I want to be a stand-up comedian, and here we are. But the great Kabir Singh, Kabir Kabizi Singh, hooked me up with free tickets to Monday Night Raw here recently, which is the big WWE event that goes on. Every Monday night, they travel around the world and basically around the country for the most part, doing a live show for USA Network where it's 3 hours of wrestling every single night now.
And it's 3 hours now?
It's 3 hours on Monday. I said every night. Every Monday, it's 3 hours. And then every Tuesday, they do another television show live for 2 hours.
Oh, my God. Do they still do SmackDown on Thursday?
SmackDown is now the show that's on Tuesday night.
On Tuesday.
And it's, okay. And it's live, and it's a completely different cast of wrestlers and characters and everybody else. There's nobody that's on Raw that's on SmackDown. It's like watching Family Guy after watching The Simpsons, if we can go back to that reference.
Sure.
So, and speaking of Family Guy, Kabir Singh, writer for Family Guy, happens to know another comedian named Irish Dave Nihil. Irish Dave grew up with a wrestler named Sheamus, who is one of the main wrestlers on the WWE Raw roster.
Right.
So Raw was in town in Oakland, California. Kabir and I decided, you know what, let's grab a couple talk cans. Let's take Bart. Let's go down there. We get our names on a list. Our tickets are front row, center of the ring, on the same side as the hard camera, if that makes sense. So basically,
yes,
where they're filming the show, the entire show, you see Kabir and the back of our heads.
Okay, right? Got it.
So I'm not sure if that's good, but it seems like pretty damn good seats.
I think so.
Now, we look over after sitting down, and we see a very tall, tall lad, very good-looking, handsome guy sitting next to us, and some other guys who looked like big, ugly dudes, but huge people. And then we realize that they're all members of the Oakland Raiders.
I was about to say, that sounds like football players, yeah.
They were absolutely football players. It was Derek Carr, the starting quarterback for the Oakland Raiders. It was Andre Holmes, who was a wide receiver for the Oakland Raiders. Michael Crabtree, who's a wide receiver for the Oakland Raiders, as well as some other people who I don't know what they do, but they could probably kick my ass for real. And I'm sitting there next to all of them with a Miami Dolphins hat on. So we're talking to him a little bit, and I've been around enough celebrities at this point, Matt, that I don't really get starstruck at all, which
sure.
Keep that in mind for later in this story. But I don't really get starstruck, and I wasn't starstruck by these players, and they appreciate that because I think, you know, at some point I've had it happen to me a little bit with comedy, but it gets weird when people start like repeating your bits or telling you how great you are all the time, and you're just kind of like, I just want to, you know, hang out or watch TV, whatever it is you're doing. So, you know, we were talking to them.
So you didn't scream Raiders at them?
No, absolutely not. I did tell them a little bit about my Raiders jokes that I do, and they chuckled and laughed about that. But what I thought was interesting is after talking to them for a while, we're hanging out, and they're cool as shit. I can't say enough about these four or five Raiders players. What they do, Matt, is they always put these celebrities right in the front row, and they happen to be right next to us. We're in the friends and family section. Well, they're coming back from break, and the Raiders players are getting ready to leave, but they're getting like a water or soda, whatever it is. And the producers kind of come out and say, hey, we want you guys here because we're actually going to film you guys when we come back from commercial to just so you guys get a pop from the crowd because they're all Raider fans there at the Oakland Coliseum.
Yeah.
So they come back from commercial, and they've got the camera on them, and you know they got the big screen up there, so you know that they're being filmed, and has a big graphic that says Oakland Raiders, and everyone's cheering and everyone's going nuts, and they just won the night before against the San Diego Chargers, so everyone's all happy. They're 4-2, they're in first place, or 4-1 at the time, and they're panning, and then the next thing you see is all these Raider players, and then my stupid happy ass with a Miami Dolphins hat on. And now, Matt, I have been booed before in my life on stage and off. I've never been booed by thousands of people simultaneously.
Oh, shit.
It was an incredible feeling. I felt like I felt awesome, to be honest with you. I felt like I should get in the ring and be a bad guy after that. But shortly after that, security comes up to myself and Kabir Singh and Dave and says, "Who are you guys with?" And I'm like, "Oh, we're getting thrown out. We must have screwed up with these Raiders players." Yeah. And we said, "Well, we got our tickets from Sheamus, the wrestler." And he goes, "Okay, great." And he gives us these backstage passes, which I didn't know at the time that we were going to go backstage. I just thought, cool, we got these great seats. Yeah. So, again, growing up as a big professional wrestling fan and being on stage, I was like, all right, cool, time to be a professional. So we walk straight to the back, and everyone's looking at us because they're like, who are these guys? Why are they getting special treatment?
Sure. I would say that about you.
Yeah. We walk straight to the back, and I immediately see all these names from our childhood, you know, like – Pat Patterson, right? Yeah, the first Intercontinental Champion of all time. He goes walking by, and I just go, "Pat Patterson, first Intercontinental Champion of all time." And he turns to me and he says, "It's a work, kid," and keeps walking, which was basically his way of saying, "Be an adult, don't be an asshole. It's all scripted, right?" So we see him. We see the Road Dog Jesse James from D-Generation X. He's working there as a producer now. D-Von Dudley is there. Billy Kidman is backstage. Mick Foley goes walking by. I have all these people that are going here, there, and everywhere. Meet up with Sheamus. Thank him, you know, profusely for letting us come backstage. Yeah. As the wrestlers are going out and back, they're saying hi to us. The champion of Raw comes out. His name's Kevin Owens. He talks to us for a little bit. Everyone's just cool as hell. There is no basically backstage, there is no good guys, bad guys anymore, right? They all just kind of hang out and talk about what they were just doing.
Sure.
And then I had a thrill because Paul E. Dangerously, a.k.a. Paul Heyman, Brock Lesnar's manager in real life and on screen, he comes walking by and he's actually filming a segment. Well, we happen to be right in the way of it. So I apologized to him, said, "Sorry, we're out of the way. Did we screw that up?" And he said, "No, it's fine. We have two more takes. As long as I get one of them right, we should be fine." So as he's walking by, I kind of feel like, you know what, Paul, you shouldn't have told me that. So as he's walking by, I know Paul E. Dangerously's long history in the wrestling universe. And at one point, he was in a WCW, and he had basically what was a Four Horsemen ripoff called the Dangerous Alliance. And it was him managing all of these really good wrestlers like Rick Rude, Arn Anderson, Larry Zbysko, Bobby Eaton, all of these guys. So as he's walking by and they're filming him, I shout out, you know, "Larry Zbysko was the worst one in the Dangerous Alliance,
oh,
Paul."
Shit.
He stops and he goes, "We're filming. What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, you better get the next one right because you had two more takes, right?" So as they go back and hit their marks and they're walking back down, Kabir is now standing right in the path of where the cameraman is supposed to be filming. Okay. Now, they got to get the shot right because they're coming back from commercial at this point. And they need to have the shot to be able to run through the tape and all that. Well, at the last second, Sheamus, the big wrestler who got us backstage, sees that his friend Dave and Kabir are in the way, picks them both up like children and just throws them like luggage. You know, it was an insane move, but they got the shot, and then Paulie Dangerously looks over, flips us off, and moves on. And it was really quite impressive.
Awesome.
And, you know, I got to meet Mick Foley. I got to sit down. Mick Foley does comedy now, and he's been a hero of mine for a very long time because of not only being a wrestler but an author and being a stand-up comedian. So I got to sit down and talk to Mick Foley for about 20, 25 minutes, take pictures with him. It was just a fantastic night, man. So I want to give a shout-out to Irish Dave for setting us up. Shout-out to Sheamus from the WWE for allowing us to go backstage and you know, possibly get him in trouble because I did not know how to act around professional wrestlers.
Nope.
I was fine around the Oakland Raiders. I'm fine around movie stars and comedians that are well known in this, you know, world. But you get me around a sweaty man in shiny underwear, and I get really, really, really too excited.
Yeah. So let's back it up just a slight bit. I want to move on to our presidential thing.
Sure.
But, you know, I used to watch wrestling religiously, and definitely one of my top fives, Mick Foley, for sure. How did that happen? How did you get to sit down with him?
The funny thing about this is that, you know, Sheamus has just come off. So a lot of these wrestlers, they have to go somewhere, you know, the very next day. And, you know, he's done with this segment. He's not going back on television. He has nothing else he's got to do. So he's like, look, I'm going to go shower and hop in the car and just get to the next town because, you know, I can get a leg up and that I don't have to be on TV anymore tonight.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, well, thanks. We're going to go back out to our seats. And he's like, you guys don't have to go back to your seats. You can do whatever you want. You've got backstage passes. You can go and do whatever you want. Just don't be stupid about it.
Sure.
And I'm like, all right, cool. So I look over and I see this big, basically this big platform that's got all these arrows going in different directions. And it's kind of like Disneyland. If you want to go to Tomorrowland, Futureland, et cetera, et cetera. And it's just got you, shows you where all the locations are for catering, for the gorilla position to go out on stage, the locker rooms, et cetera. And one of them says Vince's office.
Oh.
So obviously Vincent Kennedy McMahon, the owner of WWE. So as Sheamus is walking away, I say, oh, you know what? I think I'm going to go to Vince's office then. And he stops in his tracks and he turns and he goes, all right, maybe you should go back to your seats.
Yep.
And he's like, you're obviously going to be a problem. And I'm like, no, I'll be all right. I'm just going to go to catering. So I wandered into catering and Mick Foley's sitting there at the table. And one of the guys that's around him is a friend of the show. And also a fellow professional wrestler named Mikey Gordon, who actually was a jobber that night on TV. So shout out to Mikey Gordon.
Yeah.
He was one half of the Splash Brothers who ended up getting murdered by a humongous human being named Braun Strowman. But anyway, that's beside the point. I walk in there, and I've been around wrestlers. Like I said, I was in the industry for a while, and I know that you need to shake their hands, and you need to do it in a certain way, and you have to be respectful. So I walked up to him, even though he was eating, and I stuck my hand out, and I shook his hand very lightly, and to the point where he looked at me and said, well, who trained you to be a professional wrestler? So he already knew that I'd been a little bit involved in the business. We talked about that for a little bit. And to be honest with you, Matt, he was just sitting down at a table like a normal human being, like most people do. Yeah. And was just eating and was more than happy to talk about comedy. We actually rewrote some of his jokes. We talked about some scenarios that he could add into his show. Because really, his stand-up comedy is more of a one-man stage act. You know, it's a little bit more involved than just, you know, set up punchline stuff. But that's how I got to meet him. He was done with his segment. He had already showered up for the night. And he was just kind of in the back eating from a delicious spread. I mean, I'm sure you've seen it on movie sets.
But it's ridiculous.
The catering is like, you could feed all big countries, not even small countries. You could feed big countries with this much food.
Most of the people in the arena probably could have had a bite.
Yeah. Yeah. It was. And I'm just like, I've got no shame. I'm walking over. I'm grabbing soda. My head's blocking the TV for the other wrestlers to watch it. I'm just like, yeah, I got a pass. Leave me alone.
But that's great, man.
It was fantastic. So I just want to make sure that people get it. They get it here publicly on the show, Predictably Drunk. Irish Dave, thank you very much. Mikey Gordon, congratulations on your success on Monday Night Raw, even though you lost. And Kabir, thank you for bringing me along. So that was it was a fun night, man. That was it's been a fun birthday all the way around.
I'm glad you had a good time, man. Happy birthday.
Well, it is. And, you know, I have to hang on to that because we're going into the dark times here. As you said, it's time for us to basically fix this country, Matt. I just watched the third debate. I watched the second debate. I watched the first debate. You are a citizen of this country as much as you pretend not to be. So this is an election that actually, you know, affects you too. So we figured, you know, look, between a Canadian and a former professional wrestler slash alcoholic slash comedian slash podcaster, we could do better at running this country than the two people who are most likely going to be your candidates, or really are your candidates. So
yeah.
In a segment that I guess we call If I Were President, why don't we just rattle off some things of why would we be president?
So I would say like 50 to 60% of my if I were president movements have to do with driving. There's a lot of things that I would change if I were president about how people drive in this country. And you know, I understand I have driven in other parts of the country and things are a little bit different than Los Angeles, but that's not what the name of the segment it is. It's if I were president of the United States, and I have to apply to all. So Los Angeles has ruined it for everyone else. Sorry, but I'm not sorry. Four-way intersection. If you can't count to four, you don't get to drive. That's a thing. It goes 1, 2, 3, 4, not 3, 1, 2, 4, fucking 9, GH. Like, people don't understand. You go, okay, you go, okay, you go, okay, you go. And that's how it goes. You just do that. I once saw a man in Los Angeles. We were at a four-way intersection, and he was turning left to exit a parking complex. He turns left, stops his fucking car, realizes that he was not meant to turn left. He was going somewhere else. Now, this is a four-way intersection, a very busy four-way intersection. We're all trying to do our part. We're all trying to go When it's our time, when it's our turn, we go, we go. You go, you go. I go, you go. Okay. This guy stops, having already turned, and says, "Fuck y'all." Okay. I'm gonna reverse this decision in this intersection. This asshole starts reversing back into the intersection as if we're all just going to sit there and let it happen. Of course, everyone else was like, I'm already committed to my part in this. I'm already now in the intersection with you almost backing up into my car. And this awful prick, it took him way too long to realize that this was not going to happen. And he eventually committed and took off and had to, I don't know, make a U-turn and add a minute to his fucking route. Like, that's you need to commit what you're doing, commit to what you're doing, and not be that person. That's driving thing number one. I don't know if any of yours have to do with driving.
Well, I think I'm going to add one where I think we're gonna limit your rules to less than 5 hours in an explanation.
Okay, sorry.
But so you're saying that the rules are at a four-way intersection, you have one at every single location, that everyone just needs to know when it's their turn. And if they don't know what their turn is, they immediately just get their license pulled from them. Like, is that like a citizen's arrest if somebody
screws up? No, their car explodes. Immediately explodes. All cars manufactured in the country have a four-way intersection bomb planted in the trunk. Your car just fucking blows up.
I like it. Ruling by fear and intimidation. That's a good tactic. I think that's a good law. I think that would help the driving situation immensely, especially in crowded places like New York and Los Angeles. Okay.
I think so. I mean, listen, if you fucked up, it's not everybody else's fault. It's your fault. Commit to your mistake, deal with it, and don't make everybody else suffer.
So I'm going to go in a similar situation with my first law if I were president. One of the things that I would do, one of the very first things that I would do if I were president, ladies and gentlemen, is I would make it illegal for people to give you directions using north, south, east, and west. And what I mean by that is sometimes you'll go, oh, yeah, hey, do you know where the nearest Starbucks is? And I go, oh, you know what? If you go north about four blocks, there should be one on the east side of the western complex. And at that point, I just want to look at these people and say, you know what? I'm not a goddamn sea captain. I'm not a fucking mariner. Okay? Give me a street address. Give me a street name. Tell me to just go four blocks and turn right. Okay? Left, right, up, down. Okay? This is the video game generation. Select, start, all that shit. Don't give me north, east, west, and south. That's bullshit. I will be banning... When I am your president, ladies and gentlemen, I will be banning those types of directions. Punishable by death if you violate it, by the way.
Should we just ban north, south, east, and west? Can we just, I mean, we're going to be, you know, you're going to be president. You can just do that.
Well, it's more of a second term thing, you know, okay. When you get shit done. You know, you don't want to get, you know, voted out after the first 4 years by going too hard in the first, you know? Yeah.
Good call. Yeah.
I got an election win. So, all right. What's one more for you here?
I would say I really like the idea of, let's look at smart cars. People stopping in the middle of the street. This happens. This is an epidemic in Los Angeles. I don't care if you're lost. Figure that shit out on the side of the road, not in the middle of it. People just stop in the middle of the road and then they just crawl along at like 2 miles per hour. And you're just like, what the fuck are you doing? You're in the flow of traffic. So I would start a bill that smart cars take over driving when it detects that you have stopped in the middle of the street. I don't know, science, fuck science, but I imagine it would have sensors notifying the driver that there's no cars around them, like as if they were stuck in traffic. They're just an asshole. They've stopped in the middle of the road. The car takes over for them and hopefully drives them off a fucking cliff.
There you go. Very, very, I believe your platform seems to be very much about infrastructure and transportation. I can tell by your first two laws as president, Matt, between the exploding cars if somebody delays or goes too fast and the cars just taking over like some sort of scene out of Terminator and murdering the people if they happen to stop. So
yeah.
I see a recurring theme.
The trend.
With your presidency here. So Let me mine are a little bit more. I have like an 8-point plan to my presidency. We already talked about the one about the street names versus directions. Here's one not related to cars or anything else, but when I become president, I would declare myself king president, and I would have a scepter and a crown and a cape or whatever the fuck they call those things, a robe, and I would finally enact the tea tax that pissed everyone off back in 1773.
Interesting.
The whole thing that started this country that pissed everybody else, pissed everybody off and got to the Boston Tea Party in 1975 was the Tea Act in 1773. I think I said 1775. I would finally make that tax. And you know what? I would collect on the over 200 years of taxes that we didn't get. I would make it very, very much a penalty to buy tea in this country.
Wow. So no more tea.
Well, I would use the money generated from the people that insisted on buying their tea, that tax money, and make coffee less expensive. So it's a win.
Ooh, because there are a lot of tea drinkers in this country, especially California.
Well, it's time they paid their fair share.
Those dicks.
That's right.
How about another one? How about another one? Yours are nice and short and sweet, and mine are full of rage and have mostly to do with driving.
Well, I have some rage ones here, but I'll do a nice another short one here since I'm going back to back. This one's pretty simple. I think I can reach across party lines here and actually make this happen between Republicans, Democrats, and Independents, quite frankly. I would force companies to make actual hoverboards like I was promised to, back when Back to the Future Part 2 came out.
Yes.
Like that was supposed to be in my possession. I should not be sitting in traffic in a regular car. I mean, shit, I'm not even trying to get a flying car. I just want a flying skateboard, which was promised to me by Michael J. Fox, Christopher Lloyd, and Robert Zemeckis. And yeah. I haven't gotten it yet. And quite frankly, if we can send a rocket ship past the moon and onto the moon, and we're talking about going to Mars like our current president is talking about, I see no reason why we can't have hoverboards.
I agree. That date is coming past.
We're falling behind. We
2015, I think. Yeah,
we are a third world country when it comes to hoverboard technology, ladies and gentlemen. We need to put our resources. Maybe that's where I use the tea tax. Fuck the coffee. I take the tea tax and I develop hoverboards.
Yeah. Mattel, where are you at, Mattel?
That's right.
Okay. I like that. I'm going to wrap up my driving thing. So we can stop talking about driving after this one. And this is actually something that might actually, aside from exploding cars and shit, this might actually be a good idea. I think people should be required to complete a driving test every 5 years. And, you know, because I think somebody can pretend to be a good driver to pass one test once to get their driver's license and then proceed to be a piece of shit for the rest of their lives. But I think consistent testing would weed out a lot of the fuckery. Caveat, every subsequent test gets harder.
Mm. So it's like a video game, like the AI gets harder. Yeah, yes. Okay.
So this way we don't have 60-plus-year-olds who are destroying storefronts because they don't know the difference between the brake pad and the gas pad. They would be out of the fucking game. And I think it would just really be a huge incentive for people to be on top of their shit.
I like that, except for the fact that when my 5 years is up, I think we should all be installed with a chip so people can't get away from it. And we'll use the same technology we used on your first law, that if people are trying to escape the 5-year test, we just push a button and they blow up.
Ooh, yeah, I like that. And speaking of chips, I have a chip law. I have a chip law, but it's your turn. You go ahead.
Well, I'll do one that has to do with chips and it has to do with potato chips. I think when I'm president, I think it's important that we make junk food healthy. And what I mean by that are Oreos, pizza, ice cream, chips, as we talked about. They're delicious. They're fantastic. Yes. They taste amazing. And as such, they should be as good for you as they taste. So I'm not sure how to make that happen, but I would make sure that there would be enough money in my budget for scientists to develop healthy junk food.
You stole my cheeseburger law. I think my favorite thing to eat in the world is cheeseburgers, and they're fucking horrible for you. And then things that taste awful like kale and quinoa are supposed to be the good things, And, like, that's fucking bullshit. Like, why can't I eat something that's delicious and not die from it?
And those things are so terrible tasting that you put it on something good like a cheeseburger and it ruins
it.
And you ruin the cheeseburger. I agree.
Evil. That's evil. Whoever fucking designed that, evolution or whatever, like, dicks. Total dicks.
Well, look, the good thing about this is that there's some common ground between you two candidates here in Matt Somerville and Sam Marcoux, ladies and gentlemen. We can agree to reach and put our differences aside on all these other issues and develop good tasting, bad food for you that's actually going to be good for you. That would be the name of the law right there.
It'd be fuck kale. That'd be the name of the bill.
There you go.
Okay, so my chip law is... If I were president, I think I would have a law where everyone would have a chip inserted into their neck surgically upon birth that would zap them if they attempted to share in more than one opinion a day. That's it. You get one. You get one fucking shitty, stupid, idiot opinion a day. And if you try to do any more... You get shocked like you're a dog wearing a bark collar. Here's what that would do. It would mitigate blogs, which I think everyone would be fucking favorable of. It would murder arguments. I mean, how many arguments have you ever had where one person says one thing, the other person says one thing, and then they're like, okay, the end. That's fantastic. These debates that I'm goddamn sick of, which is basically two people arguing, followed by several more people arguing about the two people who were arguing. I'm done. You say one thing, you get your word in, and then no one has to fucking hear you after that.
Wouldn't it suck, too, like when you're first starting to figure this out, like you just come up and you say something, and you don't even mean for that to be your opinion for the day, but you're just like, you know what? I don't like cheese. And then the next time somebody says something to you, you just get shocked because you already fucking put your claim in for not liking cheese. That would be the worst. The other, you know, look, sometimes when you create a law, there's going to be collateral damage. So essentially what you just did with your law is put this entire podcast out of business. So, but I suppose
we report on things. I mean, our beer choice would be it. And then we could just sort of report on things after that. I mean, listen, I think it would also cause people to actually think about what they fucking, what comes out of their mouth before it happens. They would actually put some thought, think before you talk. That would be a thing. And I'm just so tickled pink by that idea.
Well, Ed, here's something that I thought about before I talked about it, which is happening right now. Donald Trump real famously said he wants to build a wall and he's going to make the Mexicans pay for it to keep the Mexicans out. Although the funny thing is they're already all kind of here. And it's just one of those stupid political things that can never happen. It's a ridiculous notion, but he is onto something in some regard. But instead of a wall, I would build a ceiling to prevent all of these birds from entering the country and shitting on me in my balcony like we're their own personal toilet. I don't know if you have this issue down in Los Angeles, Matt, but right now in the Bay Area, I am fighting. I'm in a battle with pigeons who are camping in my house, shitting all over my things and shitting on me. And quite frankly, it doesn't need to happen. In fact, I would make sure to deport all the birds out of the country altogether.
Birdemic.
Including pigeons, including the bald eagles, which is our national bird, and possibly including the Atlanta Falcons, because we really don't need them at all either. So that would be my big platform on wildlife and the world as a whole in terms of ecology. I would build a ceiling that goes across the country to prevent bird shit from happening. Oh. And I would also, in turn, get rid of said birds.
What? So, okay. Not a fan of the birds. What would your new, let's say, country mascot be if we don't have the eagle anymore?
It would just be a picture of our beautiful ceiling that I have put up. Like, we could paint on it. We'll make it clear. We're not blocking out the sun. It's just going to be a big glass ceiling. And I can't imagine any problems that would happen with us standing underneath a big glass ceiling when the sun's out. Now that I thought about it, there might need to be some revisions to this law.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't think mine through thoroughly very, very much. I have one here. And it's entirely based on the fact that I don't like these things. I would outlaw spiders, scorpions, snakes, and bats. And I'm not sure how we would go about doing that, because we can
strap them to the birds' backs and have them fly them all out.
Just shoot it like a fucking rocket to the moon. Yeah, yep. I mean that, you know, the spiders, they really get in there. They really get in there. They're tough to kind of dig out. But I think scorpions, snakes, and bats. I mean, like, let's look at a fucking scorpion. Why? You know, because it's like a fucking.
It's like an overgrown spider with Bell's palsy or some shit. Like, but it with like,
it's combining horrible things. It's like a spider and a fucking lobster and a crab, and it's got this awful tail like a snake with a rat. You know, it's fucked up. It's just this combination of evil that does not need to exist. You know what, Sam? Let me tell you about something. Some spiders in fucking Brazil, their venom will give you a boner for like fucking 8 hours. And it's not a happy boner. It's not a fucking fun time boner. It's a sad, hurty, my dick's gonna explode boner. And if your dick doesn't die down after 8 hours, a doctor has to drain that shit with a needle into the pee hole. That's a fucking thing that exists. Why?
I think I'm with you on getting rid of those things. That doesn't need to happen. I just actually covered myself while you told that story. That I didn't like that at all.
Yeah, outlawed.
Well, I've got two more. I don't know how many you have, but I've almost laid out my entire platform here for if I were president. I do have a two-parter here that I need to talk about, and I think it's something that both men and women can appreciate, and I think they would vote for this if we were to put it on a federal ballot or even just a statewide ballot. This measure would be that I would make it a crime for women to invite you to just go to Target real quick, quote unquote, and then take you to five other stops along the way. I think that should be a goddamn stage two felony.
That's wrong.
It's absolutely wrong. Now, here's the other part, because that seems a little sexist and biased. Here's where I think, because when that happens, like, doesn't it make you want to strangle her? Like, you just are like, oh my God, you said we're going to Target. Why am I at Dress Barn? You know, like, why is this even happening to me? But on the caveat to that, I think the penalty for spousal abuse by a man. So if he puts his hands on the woman, the penalty is not to go to prison. It's not to pay a fine. It's that you have to go on all those other stops along the way while on the way to Target. Like that's the punishment for putting your hands on somebody, is you now have to endure that 5 hour trip that was supposed to take 25 minutes. So that is kind of my two parter to deal with domestic issues with regards to crime inside the households. You got anything else before we ask for the vote of our listeners?
I think we should probably ban Dress Barn. Like, that's a fucking stupid name, right?
Speaking of which, a new rule if I were president, three words, no fat chicks.
I have one last one. Yeah. This one I kind of titled Second Earth. And I honestly, I'll tell you this, Sam, this is the one I spent the most time on. I think I wrote it and then I actually thought about it and then I erased everything I wrote and I wrote it again. So Second Earth, I think we need to excavate the shit out of the country. So we just really just dig deep. I know a lot of, you know, especially California, fault lines, whatever. We need to dig deep and create structures to support a second surface underground, right? So it's cordoned off, right? It's safe. It's a safe zone. If you want to go down and you want to stay down, you totally can. And there are no rules in Second Earth, in Second United States. Let's just say that. They're like living people, living like the people from Demolition Man, you know, Dennis Leary eating the rat burgers. If you feel like you really are passionate about murdering, you go down to Second Earth and you just go murder fucking crazy. You know, if you don't want to get a job, if you want to OD on drugs, if you just want to smoke weed and play fucking Xbox all day, Like, you just leave everyone else on the surface alone, and you go down and you be a total piece of shit in second United States. The democracy, that's it. Whatever happens to you, happens to you. People down there vote. You do whatever you want. Just fuck off. Go underground. And do whatever shitty thing you want to do down there.
Sounds like you just kind of took three or four different bad movie plots and put them together and made it a law. So I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Well, here's the last one that I would do. Maybe it's a personal one. Maybe it's a little bit selfish. But sometimes as politicians, we try to get, you know, we have our pet peeves and our pet items that we're trying to get through Congress. So if I were president, one of the things that I would make happen is I would make comedy bookers pay me more money and make audiences laugh at all of my jokes, not just some of them like they do now. So I think that's a good law.
Yeah, I mean, that fair. That's good.
It might be time to end this segment. So There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Those are your candidates. Not Hillary, not Donald. It is Matt Somerville and Sam Marcoux. You've heard our positions. You now know what we would bring to the country if we were president. Cast your votes for either Matt or myself, Sam Marcoux. Just saying, Matt is Canadian. But
That was a Trump-esque thing to do there, sir.
It was just to let people know the facts.
Listen, Sam, there's no one that respects women more than Sam Marcoux.
That's okay? Right. Just remember, don't be fat. All right, well, there you guys have it. That was the bulk of Predictably Drunk has been done. But as we always do, it is time for Stupid Drunken News. And I teased this at the top of the episode here, Matt, and you were pretty close as to what the man was driving who was arrested. Now, this isn't a new story. This actually happened, I think, in around 2009.
Oh.
So this is what you call a classic Stupid Drunken News story. And this is out of Newark, Ohio. A 28-year-old man has been charged with drunken driving after crashing his motorized bar stool.
Holy fuck.
Yes, motorized bar stool. Police in Newark, 30 miles east of Columbus, say when they responded to a report of a crash with injuries on March 4th, they found a man who had wrecked a bar stool powered by a deconstructed lawnmower.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah,
that's where I was close.
They have pictures. So essentially what it is it's the motor of the lawnmower, and then these oversized crazy tires, and then a bar stool that is welded to the frame of what's holding the engine, and he's sitting on top of this. So the engine is literally under his feet, and then he has made a little steering wheel that has come out to control the front tires. So he's got basically a little motorized bar stool. This is maybe the best thing I've ever seen in my life.
But why?
Well, let's find out. Let's read the rest of the article here. So police released the 911 tapes revealing a calm exchange between the driver's friend and the dispatcher. And I quote, "I got a friend who wrecked a bar stool," the caller said. When asked by the dispatcher whether he hit his head inside the bar, the friend replied, no.
Nope.
He was riding the bar stool, a motorized bar stool. End of quote. Kyle Wiggle, the bar stool rider, was hospitalized for minor injuries. During an interview after his crash, Wiggle told the reporter, "I drank quite a bit after I wrecked." Police say he was charged with operating a vehicle while intoxicated after he told an officer at the hospital that he had consumed 15 beers. Wiggle told police his motorized bar stool can go up to 38 miles per hour.
Holy shit.
Wiggle has pleaded not guilty and has requested a jury trial. Trial of the century from 2009. The only questions, well, I have a lot of questions, quite frankly, but I have to know what happened to this man. In 2009, he was 28 years old. I think that makes him here in 2016 about 73, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know. I don't know math.
This is my challenge. Kyle Wiggle, is it? K-I-L-E-W-Y-G-L-E out of Newark, Ohio. I would like to interview you for this very podcast here, Predictably Drunk, to talk about this story. I have so many questions, Matt. I'm sure you do, too. What's on your mind after hearing this?
We're never getting that interview because that person is certainly fucking dead.
I just want to know what else he can make into a car. I mean, he made a bar stool into a motorized vehicle and got a DUI on it.
I mean, I mean, 38 miles per hour, that's impressive. But, like, why not just stick with the thing that was already in existence? The thing that already was the fucking lawnmower. Like, Just ride that shit. I feel like that would be way more comfortable than a bar stool.
I think you're not thinking too far ahead on this. You know, sometimes Google will buy a company. You're like, well, why would they buy that company? It's because they want to use that technology for something bigger.
Sure.
I'm looking at this guy and going, you know what? This is the guy that's going to develop my hoverboard that I was talking about. President.
Okay. But he's also a drunken piece of shit. So, you know, your hoverboard may get made, but it also it might be like L-shaped and unrideable.
It'll probably be a bar stool with a lawnmower that he's going to call a hoverboard.
Yeah.
But I kind of want one now. I'm wondering if this guy can make us like a logoed bar stool that says Predictably Drunk on it. That would be amazing. I would love that. I want that in my life. I need that in my life.
Kyle Wiggle, if you're defying existence and you are actually still alive, hit us up.
And if anybody out there that's listening to this knows Kyle Wiggle, and I'm not even sure if I'm saying his name right, but I hope it's Wiggle.
Weigel?
It might be Weigel, but I like the fact that it's Kyle Wiggle.
Yeah.
Let him know that we would like to meet this man and interview him for the show and get a little bit more information. I don't even know if, you know, he wanted a jury trial. This happened in 2009. I can't imagine this case is still going on. I'm sure it was settled at some point. There's so many questions that we need answered.
Things take time. You never know.
That's what it is. Well, you know what we don't have, though, speaking of time, is much of that. This has been a very outstanding and long episode of Predictably Drunk. You do have a choice to make this November, and it is not between Hillary and Donald. It's between Sam and Matt. So, ladies and gentlemen, that is the show. This is Predictably Drunk. This is smart people talking about stupid things. I think we proved that here tonight more so than we have in a very long time. Anything you want to say before we take off here?
Vote or die. Vote or die, motherfucker.
Vote or die. And in keeping with the theme of this, I will plug that on November 5th, I will be making my return to professional wrestling with their Fist Combat in Santa Cruz, where I will not be wrestling, ladies and gentlemen, but I will be the ring announcer. And who knows, sometimes the ring announcer has to get involved and break things up. Sometimes the ring announcer has to be physically constrained and restrained from some of the wrestlers if they were picking on him. Who knows what might happen? But if you're going to be in Santa Cruz Saturday, November 5th, check out Fist Combat. You can go to comedysuplex.com and get all that information. And I will be there in the house announcing, saying things, talking into the microphone in the middle of that ring.
Please don't hurt yourself.
I will do everything in my power to not hurt myself. And with that being said, speaking of people who have hurt themselves, let's hope he's getting better. But the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Ross Baker, why don't you go ahead and take us out?
You've been listening to Predictably Drunk, smart people talking about stupid things, with your host, Sam Marcoux, and that other guy. What was his name again? Oh, it doesn't matter. Subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, and find the complete catalog on PredictablyDrunk.com. Until next time, keep drinking. Passenger, that's parasitic. I don't think